presentation of Catherine. Introduce the next speaker is Catherine Perkel. Am I saying that right? Good. A PhD candidate in epidemiology at the University of Montreal. I won't try the French pronunciation. Hopefully she'll forgive me. And a research assistant in the International Health Unit there. She completed her master's in community health, and her thesis studied maternal mortality in Mali. She's also worked in ARV adherence in Mali and Burkina Faso, and collaborated with Social Science Research Council in New York, looking at the links between gender, culture, and HIV. Her research currently focuses on links between maternal child health and PMTCT programs in West Africa. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you very much. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm a little short. Is this better? Okay. Good morning. My name is Catherine Perkel, and I will be presenting the impact of a modified directly administered antiretroviral treatment intervention on virological outcome in HIV-infected patients treated in Burkina Faso and Mali. I'll be doing this on behalf of the ATERA Research Group in Montreal, Canada, Bamako, Mali, and Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso in West Africa. Do I press the left or the right?
Try right. Whatever you press, try the other one.
There we go. I have no financial relationships to disclose. In terms of the organization of this presentation, I'll start off by giving you a brief background behind the study, followed by our objectives and hypotheses, the methods, the results, and finally the discussion and conclusions. Recent years, we've seen a dramatic and unprecedented scale-up of antiretroviral treatment in sub-Saharan Africa, with an estimated 4.6 million people now on treatment. Actually, the presentation before did a really good job of showing how quickly the scale-up is going on. This has led to critical debates as to how do we best deliver antiretrovirals and continue the scale-up efforts, getting out drugs to those who need it. One of the major dilemmas facing the scale-up of antiretroviral treatment is how to monitor patients on treatment. This debate has been artificially divided into two camps or two approaches, the first being coined the public health approach, which applies limited resources to prevention measures and the increased initiation of patients on treatment. The other approach has been coined the clinical approach, and it aims to assure quality monitoring of patients receiving treatment. Major points in this debate have centered around how do we maximize antiretroviral treatment coverage, where should limited resources be going, and around questions of resistance and long-term sustainability. Intensified laboratory monitoring, specifically viral load monitoring, has been a particularly contentious issue in this debate. Often the argument against viral load monitoring has been that we need to maximize the number of people on treatment and not provide expensive technologies to those who are already receiving it. On the other hand, the argument for viral load monitoring has been to detect adherence problems and/or possible resistance before it becomes a major problem, and thereby helping to assure ART sustainability. Key in all of this is the question of adherence. Meticulous adherence to treatment has been shown to be the most important factor in delaying the development of drug resistance, and it is recognized as a crucial determinant of therapeutic success. Modified directly administered antiretroviral therapy, or MDART, is a strategy in which one or two doses of treatment are witnessed being administered per day. It has been proposed as a strategy to improve adherence and treatment outcomes, as well as a public health strategy to prevent the development of widespread drug resistance. Thus, we pose the following question. We ask, can viral load measurements in conjunction with MDART be used to target those in need of adherence assistance in resource-limited settings? Our hypothesis was that high plasma viral loads, or viral loads above 500 copies per milliliter, were the result of poor ART adherence or therapeutic failure, and were a minimal to improvement with MDART. However, past evidence from this region has suggested that adherence was the underlying problem. Thus, to test this, we conducted a multi-centered, single-arm pilot study in three community-based and three hospital-based ART delivery sites in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, and Bamako, Mali in West Africa. In this cohort of patients, we offered those who had been on treatment for 6 months or more and who had a plasma viral load of greater than 500 copies per milliliter, the MDART intervention. The intervention was carried out by an accompagnateur, that is, a family member, a friend, or a healthcare professional who was given instructions on how to monitor doses using a follow-up chart. For all cohort members in all six sites, not simply those who were offered the MDART intervention, we trained interviewers to collect data on demographic characteristics, adherence behavior, treatment, the treatment prescribed, and clinical status. For those who were given the MDART intervention, for both groups, CD4 count and viral load measurements were taken. For the MDART participants, viral load was done before and after the intervention, as was genotyping. Our primary study outcome was a one log difference in plasma viral load following the 1 month MDART intervention. Viral load was therefore used to screen 606 patients who had been receiving ART in the 6 sites for 6 months or more. 85 of these patients were eligible for the MDART intervention. That means that they had been on treatment for 6 months or more and had plasma viral loads of above 500 copies. 56 of these patients agreed to and completed the intervention. The overwhelming reason for non-participation was an inability to find an accompagnateur. The following two slides present a table that shows the characteristics of the 56 MDART participants compared to the remaining cohort patients who were not eligible or did not participate in the intervention. In general, the MDART participants did not differ from the other cohort members in terms of the socio-demographic characteristics, except for a borderline higher proportion of men among the MDART participants, and this is shown in red. However, in accordance with their virological status, MDART participants were more immunologically suppressed. They had, in other words, they had CD4 counts, cell counts below 200, and they were less likely to report good health. They were also more likely to report treatment interruptions and less likely to have good antiretroviral treatment knowledge. In terms of treatment, MDART participants had been on treatment for longer and were more likely to be on a protease inhibitor-containing regimen or another type of regimen than the other cohort patients. The graph presented here shows the impact of the MDART intervention on plasma viral load according to resistance status. 20 of the participants, or a little over a third, were able to lower their initial plasma viral load by at least one log following the MDART intervention. However, in two-thirds of patients, or 36 of them, no decline in plasma viral load was observed. So what this graph demonstrates is the link between resistance status and change in viral load post-MDART intervention. We were able to perform genotyping on 34 of the 56 MDART participants. The remaining 22 samples could not be sequenced because of sample degradation. Of the 34 patients, 30 of them had major resistance mutations. So that means, irrespective of the status of the 22 samples that we were unable to genotype, at least half of the MDART participants had major resistance mutations. So what you can see is the red diamonds are the resistant patients, the green squares are those without major resistance mutations, and finally the blue triangles are those whom we were unable to genotype. In the upper right-hand corner, you can see that there's a clustering of resistant patients. This demonstrates that the vast majority of resistant patients saw no decline in their viral load after the intervention. In fact, of the 30 patients with major resistance mutations, 27 of them saw no diminution in plasma viral load post-MDART. Of interest, however, is the fact that the MDART intervention was effective in over 70%, or 16 of the 22 patients whom we were unable to genotype. And this probably reflects their lower average plasma viral load. Those that we were unable to genotype had around 3.7, had on average 3.79 log copies per milliliter, versus those who were genotyped had 4.4 log copies. And this is clearly seen in the graphic as the blue triangles are concentrated on the lower half. So to sum up, an important consideration in the management of patients on antiretroviral treatment will be and is the level and quality of laboratory monitoring necessary to retain effective and sustainable antiretroviral treatment options. This is all the more important in the context of rapid ART scale-up, in which widespread drug resistance could threaten recent gains that we've made in expanding access to treatment. Our study demonstrated that at least half of all of the MDART participants had major resistance mutations. And of course, this raises alarm bells when it comes to assuring sustainable treatment options in the future, particularly for those who are experiencing difficulties with adherence. Nevertheless, we find it's also equally to point out that for the entire cohort in all 6 sites, 75% of these patients were quite successful on treatment, and they were able to bring their plasma viral loads down below 50 copies per milliliter. In other words, they were undetectable. On the other hand, that still leaves a substantial number of people for whom treatment may be partially or completely ineffective. In this study, using plasma viral load measurement to detect those suspected of adherence difficulties and then targeting them for 1 month of adherence assistance allowed a third of the participants to lower their plasma viral loads by at least one log. Considering that second-line treatments in Mali and Burkina Faso cost at least 4 times that of first-line treatments, this represents a considerable financial savings. On the other hand, most of these samples were not genotyped, and we do not know the resistant status of the vast majority of these patients. Should these patients be harboring major resistant mutations, future treatment options could be compromised. As you saw before, the MDAR intervention was unfortunately ineffective in 2/3 of the participants. For these patients, the adherence intervention appears to have come too late, as they had already developed important resistance mutations. Certain baseline characteristics, such as the fact that MDAR participants had been on treatment for longer and were more likely to be taking an unboosted protease inhibitor-containing regimen, hinted that resistance might have been the underlying problem behind the high plasma viral loads, as these factors have been associated with resistance in the literature. Better laboratory monitoring may have prevented the high rates of resistance found in our study by detecting those with elevated plasma viral loads early enough for the adherence intervention to have been effective. Overall, the study highlights the importance of focusing both on ensuring ART adherence and the need for improved laboratory capacity to better monitor patients who might be experiencing difficulties with adherence. Finally, one suggestion made on behalf of our research team was that we could conduct the one-month MDAR intervention on all patients initiating treatment to foster important adherence behaviors and habits early on. Of course, ensuring high rates of adherence helps to ensure that resistance does not develop. And then I would just like to acknowledge the Université de Montréal, the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, and our Terra research team. Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Catherine.